prophet. I mean, if anything be revealed to another prophet that's sitting by, that you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Very simple. Just prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, which is akatastasia, instability, disorder, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. A lot of times people use this in conjunction with tongues, but he's actually talking about prophesying. And our prophets are subject to prophets, and they should hold their peace when another one speaks, and meaning allowing other prophets to interject things, but taking their, now that doesn't mean you lose your floor. Maybe something's revealed back to you, you want to say, answer again. You know, when you deal with people, it's like there's a lot of things that are spirit, you know, a lot of this is, he's speaking as unto wise. We have to handle ourselves wisely. If we take these as rigid rules, we'll just be interrupting each other all day. But there has to be room for it. It can't just be like, well, never interrupt. You just sit there and listen. Most churches, that's the way it is. And the pastor, who is he subject to? No one. Oh, the elders, yeah, whatever. The pastors are subject, and the preachers are subject to powers and principalities, the rulers of the darkness of this world, the things that are corrupting the gospel and that hide the truth from men. That's what they are subject to. The traditions and the orthodox doctrine which they have received through their educational institutions and of their fathers. These are the things that bind. These are the things that blind. These are the things that they are subject to and which they cannot escape from. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. In Genesis 3:16, he shall rule over you. It's a reference to the subjection. Again, once again, they are subject, they are under obedience. They are not to, again, keep silence, again, is a sort of a figure of speech, meaning they are not to be the primary speaker or stand up in the church to guide and lead it, but rather to take the part of subjection. Now, women can prophesy. They are women prophets. Again, they are also subject to prophets. They aren't just prophets to be prophets to themselves. But they're not supposed to have the leadership of the church. You know, the bishop, the overseer, is to be the husband of one wife. And people say, well, the culture has changed, you know. Paul just lived in the culture. He did, and I understand to some degree that's true. Like, you know, like a woman praying without a veil on her head dishonored her head back in those days. Women don't wear veils, ever, in American modern culture. Except to be Muslims, but they're part of another culture. You know, people, you have to be of another culture to wear a veil these days. We don't have a veil culture. And I'm not going to instill it on my wife or my daughter, though honestly, I wouldn't see the harm in it, except that I might be identified with a religion that I'm not part of. If my wife were to put on a veil, they'd think maybe I was a Muslim. I don't want people to think that. So again. As long as she shows her subjection and confesses it, I'm satisfied. Same thing in the church. It's like, you know, women can speak in the building. The church, where Paul didn't have the mind of the building. He was thinking of the people. Well, I'm always in the church. Well, it's when you're gathered together, right? And people would take up the leadership. Some of the churches were led by women as far as it was in the woman's house. And maybe they called the meetings and stuff, but they were subject to the men. I know that irks a lot of women and makes them mad and so on and so forth. You know, I have to go under, you know, and because they feel like it serves men. Honestly, it doesn't. Not in God's sight. Where there is more responsibility, there's a greater judgment. And women want to, you know, they want to subject themselves to that. Okay. Be not many masters, for know we have the greater judgment. think about, you never think about being a man. As a man, I'm commanded, I have to make people subject who don't want to be subject. I have to be in control. Maybe I don't want to be in control. Maybe I just like to sit back and be subject to somebody else. Have somebody else take all the responsibility. Have somebody else take all the blame. But God has ordained, no, I've got to be in charge. You ever think that maybe that might be a burden? It's not, you know, but people always want to take on the other person's burden. Or the grass is always greener. The woman wants to be the man. And you know, sometimes men would like to just abdicate their authority and be like women. We've got that problem in this country these days. Men have become like women. And women make terrible men. I see it all the time. I see these wives domineering. They talk to their husbands like they're dirt. They talk to their husbands in a way in which if their husbands talk to them like that, they'd absolutely flip their lid. Don't you talk to me like that. But they don't have any problem talking to them, talking down to them. When I get talked down to by anybody, I don't appreciate it. The women of today think nothing of doing that. When it's done to me, it makes me feel like, you know what? I'll suffer it for the gospel's sake, meaning against an enemy. But for other stuff, I just don't want to associate with those people who are like that. I just feel like I just want to be away from you. Because you're just in another world. And what am I going to say? Don't you dare! You know, again, it's like, I'm supposed to suffer wrong as a Christian. I can't get up and start yelling at people in the world for being worldly. I mean, as far as like going to their element, you know, like if I were to go, it's one thing if they come into my element and I'm teaching the Bible and they're listening to my study and they're getting yelled at, well, you're in my element. But if I go into their element, if I go into their civic groups and so on and so forth, and I try to start pushing my religion there, meaning as far as make them try to be my kind of Christian in their element, I have entered into folly. I can't do it. So, and now I've seen how I can't even really be part of it. Because the way the world is, it's going to so badly rub up against me that I can only have a very limited role. You know what I mean? We've got to be part of things in the world. You know, there's going to be some contact, of course. I don't seek to sever contact. But what I mean is, like, you can't have a real close association. Because, at least I can't. Because it's like, again, I don't want to be talked down to. Imagine if there was a bunch of men in the room, and the men spoke abusively towards the women. How would the women take that? How would the men be looked at? Men don't do that anymore. At least not in most places I've gone. I mean, I'm sure there's still places where it goes on in the world. Say in America, men have been feminized and the women have been masculinized.